Hey everybody, this is Mark Amadeo. Thanks for joining us for this installment of the GovCon video blog. Today's vlog is the third part of a vlog series covering cybersecurity rules for federal government contractors. In the first vlog, we gave an overview of the cybersecurity rules that apply to defense agency contracts and civilian agency contracts. In our second vlog, we focus more closely on the rules under FAR, or the Federal Acquisition Regulation, for protecting a civilian agency contractor's internal information systems. Well, in today's vlog, we're going to talk about four things defense contractors should know about the rules under DFARS, the Defense Federal Acquisition Regulation Supplement, for protecting their internal information systems. Now, one thing to note for contractors that work with civilian agencies and defense agencies is there are some differences between the two sets of cybersecurity requirements, and as we go along, we'll touch on a few. So contractors should look to the FAR or DFAR safeguarding clauses that are included in their contracts to confirm which rules apply. Although DFARS is a supplement to FAR, in most cases, a defense contract will only include the DFARS clause. So one thing contractors should know is that like civilian agency contractors under the FAR, defense agency contractors under DFARS are required to implement protective measures over what is called covered contractor information systems. But the definition of covered contractor information systems under DFARS, although similar, is not identical to the definition under FAR. Like the definition under FAR that we discussed in part 2 of our vlog series, the DFARS definition of covered contractor information systems can be broken up into three parts. The first two parts are very similar to the definition under FAR, and it's the third part where the rules under FAR and DFARS diverge a little bit. So under DFARS, a covered contractor information system must 1. Be an unclassified information system that is owned or operated by a contractor or for a contractor. 2. The information system must process, store, or transmit certain information. And 3, and this is where DFARS diverges a little bit from FAR, that information must be what is called covered defense information, or CDI. If you remember from our last vlog, under FAR, the kind of information residing in a contractor's information system that triggers the safeguarding rules is a broad category of information called federal contractor information. Basically, any non-public information that's provided to the government or generated for the government under a contract. Well, under DFARS, the safeguarding requirements are triggered if an unclassified system stores or transmits covered defense information, or CDI, which, as we will talk about next, is a more specifically defined set of information. The second thing that contractors should know is that CDI, or covered defense information, which triggers the safeguarding requirements, is controlled information that is specifically identified by DoD under the government contract. Now, under the DFARS definition of controlled defense information, there are two kinds of requirements for information to be CDI. First, the information must be one of two types of controlled information. Information must be either controlled technical information, which is military or space-related information that is subject to controls over things like access, use, reproduction, modification, or disclosure. Or the information must be the kind of information that's listed in a registry of controlled unclassified information that is maintained by the National Archives. That controlled unclassified information registry can be found online at the National Archives website. The second requirement for information to be CDI is that the information must be specific to a particular government contract. Now, in the case of contractor-generated information, it's information collected, developed, used, or transmitted by or on behalf of a contractor in order for that contractor to perform under the contract. In the case of information generated by the government and provided to a contractor, the information will be specifically marked or identified by the government in a contractor task order. Now, the first category we talked about which is contractor-generated information, that may seem kind of broad, and there may be some uncertainty about whether something the contractor developed during contract performance is CDI. Well, DoD in recent guidance has indicated that it's DoD's policy that it will state in the contract the information that's required to be developed for the contract. And to the extent the information is delivered to the government, how that information will be marked and delivered. So either way, whether the information is generated by the government or by the contractor, the contract will specify what will be considered CDI. The third thing contractors should know is that the safeguarding requirements under the DFARS rule are implemented by the development of a system security plan. So under DFARS, a contractor that operates or maintains an internal system that has covered defense information is required to provide adequate security over that system. So what is adequate security? Well, as we stated in our first vlog, unlike under FAR, DFARS doesn't spell out the safeguard requirements. Instead, it points to the security requirements set out by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, in Special Publication 800-171. And under the safeguarding rule under DFARS, these requirements have to be implemented by December 31, 2017. Now, SP 800-171 is an impressive document, and it sets out 110 security requirements over 14 families or categories. Now, with the looming deadline, that might seem overwhelming. Well, first of all, there's a good chance that contractors already have in place a large number of those security requirements. But the important thing to keep in mind is that the implementation mandate under SP 800-171, and you can find this in Chapter 3, which is conveniently titled The Requirements, these mandates are satisfied by the development of a System Security Plan, or SSP. That System Security Plan must describe either how the 110 security requirements are met or how the company or organization plans to meet those requirements. And in recent guidance, DoD has stated explicitly that a System Security Plan and associated plans of action are the mechanism to demonstrate implementation of SP 800-171. So you don't have to have all 110 safeguards in place by December 31, 2017, as long as you do have an SSP and a plan of action for how you will put those safeguards in place in the future. The fourth and last thing that contractors should know is that they're required to flow down the DFARS clause that contains the safeguarding requirements to every subcontract for operationally critical support or every subcontract that will involve covered defense information. And operationally critical support is defined explicitly in DFARS, and it includes supplies or services that are designated by the government as critical for airlift, sealift, or logistical support that is essential to deployment, mobilization, or sustainment of the armed forces. Well, that's it for today's vlog. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you come back for future episodes of the GovCon video blog.